Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they can have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today's episode is the last in our Town Hall series. Episodes featuring this title will have been recorded at the 2019 Leadership Town Hall, an annual event in which people from communities and schools affiliates across the nation gather to learn, share, and network. In this episode, we welcome CIS of the Nation's Capital alum, Kanaya Young, to the lunchroom. Welcome to the lunchroom, Kanaya. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So we are recording this podcast as part of our Town Hall series, which means that we are recording it on site at Leadership Town Hall here in Chicago. And I'm really excited about that. This is a huge event. And Kanaya, would you do me a solid and please introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, well, my name is Kanaya Young. I'm 19 years old. That's such like a basic introduction. So I'm 19 years old and I am a freshman at Montgomery Community College.
In Montgomery, Alabama?
No. Oh. Someone asked me that yesterday, actually. No, it's in Maryland, in Silver Spring, Maryland. I live in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So. Yeah. So you are an alum from CIS of Nations Capital.
I graduated from Cardozo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't actually know where Cardozo is, but I'm still the nicest for your graduation. So Congrats on your graduation.
Thank you.
And now you're a freshman. Oh my gosh. How's college going?
Oh my gosh. College is like awesome. Honestly, I took a year off and to figure out if school was for me.
It's very smart.
I honestly can say like with that gap year, I know like it's traditional to go straight into college, but with the gap year, it like really opened my eyes to figure out like who I was and to deal with the things that, you know, sometimes we put things to the side and we're like, we can deal with it later. Well, it really helped me become a better version of myself.
Oh my gosh.
And when I got to college, I felt like I was a little more aware and I was a little more not ahead of the class. Mm-hmm. But when I came in with the expectation for myself and for my professor. Yeah. So everywhere I go, no matter where I am, I always say my name is Kanaya Young. Mm-hmm. And I love to introduce people. I love to talk like that because I feel like, you know, I want people to remember my name.
Yeah.
And I want them to remember my impact. And school, to get back on topic,
it's okay.
School is just amazing. Like, it's honestly the best thing. I had an essay due last night.
Oh my gosh. I'm assuming that you just turned it in online.
Yes, I turned it in online and I literally was at the deadline. Like it was due at 11:59. But at 11:40, I was like freaking out, like, I have to finish typing. And God is so good because when it got to 11:59, that essay was submit. And
yay!
I was like, I have another one due tonight. But like, I'm so excited because it shows me that like, you can work hard and you can still enjoy your life and also get your work done, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes we feel like we gotta live, like we can't do everything while we're in school. Well, I'm learning that yes, you can.
Yeah. And you can enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Like Chicago is so beautiful and being here, honestly, it's so amazing because yesterday I met a guy and I was talking to him about I'm majoring in communications and TV broadcasting.
Are you really?
Yes.
That's so exciting. I love Thank that. You. My undergraduate is in communications.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm going to have to get your number after this.
That's fine.
And, I told him that when I finished school, like I was telling him about my career and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I could feel that being here, it really helped me. It really helped push me and it helped me get out of my comfort zone because sometimes I like to talk, but I stay in my bubble. So I'm like, I have to find people that I'm comfortable with. And I'm learning that you don't have to be surrounded by people that you're comfortable with because sometimes that attracts the wrong people.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it really pulled me out of my comfort zone. And when I came with the expectation for not just myself, but also for the people that I networked with, mm-hmm. so that I can build those connections mm-hmm. and potentially have great mentors, you know?
Yes. Well, and actually we learn so much from people that are different from us.
Yes.
And I know that a lot of the conversations that we've been having here at Town Hall has been around DEI, diversity, mm-hmm. equity, and inclusion. And a lot of that conversation is reaching out and making connections with people who are different from us and respecting and embracing those differences and those things that make us unique, instead of having like barriers like, oh, yeah. we can't hang out because you're different than me. Yeah. And so I love that you're coming here with that expectation, because there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
And a lot of different people. And so you really have a lot of opportunities to really just do some hardcore networking and put yourself out of that comfort zone, and it helps us grow.
Thank you. I definitely feel like sometimes, well, for me, being it, when you're in your bubble for a long period of time and you feel like I just have to have my circle, it kind of becomes mm-hmm. a little toxic mm-hmm. because you only see those people, which mean that they only see your circumstance and you only see theirs. And I tell my community all the time that there's something more bigger than Washington, D.C. There's a whole mm-hmm. world out there. So when I go and I think about me in college, I think about I can't stop because I have my parents, mm-hmm. I have my siblings, and I also have a whole community who is looking to me to help save them. And although I can't save everyone, I can do my part, and everybody doesn't like telling their story. So I feel like with me, I'm able to be that person to tell their story for them. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really amazing to come out of that shell and to meet people of all different, from different backgrounds and different ethnicities, because it helps you build yourself and it helps you become a more loving version of yourself. And it also helps others, because now, you know, you don't really know them. So you guys are a challenge for each other.
Yeah.
And I love challenges. So
saying bring them on.
Yeah.
Help me grow as a person.
Yeah. And it's just so amazing being here.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you are here. And you did mention that you are open to telling your story. And
yes.
that's what I'm here for, is to hear your story and to hear how you first got involved with communities and schools. So take me back to that time. I don't know your story at all. Mm-hmm. All I know is that you are an alum. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have worked with a site coordinator, and I know that you had some challenges that you had to overcome, but I don't know what they are. So when did you first get introduced to communities and schools, and why?
So I was a 10th grader, and I kind of, okay, so when I first got to the school, I was bullied my whole life. Mm-hmm. So going into a different school, I assumed that I kind of prepared myself to get bullied. Mm-hmm. So I was very mean, and I had put on this front that I was like, you know, top dog. Mm-hmm. And with doing that, I was also grounded. So I was able to still do outreach and still help people. But when it came to someone trying to help me, I always assumed that I was being attacked. Mm-hmm. And I always assumed they don't want to help me. They just want to know my business so that they can tell people. Mm-hmm. And with that mindset, what it did was it hindered it, in a sense, at the time, it was hindering my growth. Mm-hmm. Down the line, I met Miss Monique Baker, and she was my CIS worker. And I met her because my principal actually introduced me, I believe. I was doing a lot of programs in Cardozo, and I realized that bullying was something that I wanted to stop. I have a special needs brother. So when he came home and he was talking about how kids at Cardozo was throwing rocks at him and they were bullying him and things like that, I realized that it broke my heart, because mm-hmm. someone, my brother Ricardo, he's my baby, and I'm the youngest. But hearing that the people within my community are tearing another person down because they're not happy within, it really gave me a chance to reflect on myself. And with doing so, I started organizations within Cardozo. I started mentoring kids. I started becoming that person that when I seen a bully, I'm like, leave them alone. I became the big sister of Cardozo. And my principal introduced me to Miss Baker. And when she did so, it was because I had the right word. I was able to have compassion with others and sympathize, but I didn't have the I didn't have the clothes, and I didn't have like all the daily essentials that I needed. I didn't have that. And when she went to Miss Baker, I believe it was just so that I could have those things. And from there, it kind of just, you know, communities and schools, me and community schools, we took off. Like, we became inseparable because Miss Baker went from being, we had a really rough relationship because at that time I was still a very angry kid. So, you know, when you're young and you're mad at the world, because I believe sometimes kids, we're not able to tell our story. Our story has always been muted. And I always felt like I could never speak out because adults would take that microphone from me. So now I'm silenced. And Ms. Baker gave me that microphone. And not only did she give it to me, she turned it on. So I was able to actually say how I feel. And even if it was screaming at her, it was me saying how I feel authentically. And that was one thing that helped build our relationship, because I've always been Kanaya. I've never been no one else but Kanaya. And it really helped my family, because there were times where my mom had to choose, like, she was always doing for the community, but with her helping the homeless and helping the sick and shut-in, she wasn't able to help her family. And she was always giving, giving, giving. But when I got home, there was nothing for us to have, you know? And we were always grateful, though, because we knew that there was someone that needed my mom, and we had her. So even if it was my brothers going out and making money and feeling like they had to take care of their family, and the girls being at home constantly cleaning up and constantly changing my mom. My mom has always been sick my whole life, so she was always doing for others, and we were always taking care of her. You know, and with communities and schools, it really gave me a chance to appreciate the people that I had in my life, because I felt like for a really long time, I was always taking care of someone, or I was always being that big sister. And I'm the youngest child. So I kind of had that pressure on me. One of my sisters were in college, and the other one, she was figuring her life out. So I'm the last girl in the house, and I'm in a house full of all guys and my sick mom. And I realized when somebody has a parent that's sick, they're not just sick physically, they're also sick mentally and spiritually. And with that, it really drained my family. So I was able to get out of that situation when I got to school. And every day I was greeted with a smile by Miss Baker. And that smile, like, it honestly, like, I could, it took me a long way, because it helped me realize, like, there is something so bigger than your situation. And once I graduated, I thought that it was over for me in communities and schools. I thought that that was the end of our relationship, you know? And my mom passed away in December. So I assumed that I felt like that little girl again. I was in my box. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be around anybody. And I hear from Miss Baker, and I'm like, oh Lord, she's about to start feeling bad for me. And one thing I hate is one thing I don't like is someone to feel bad for me, because I feel like
your story is very powerful. No, it's
fine. I feel like, you know, there's someone else out there who's going through worse, and I just want to be that person to touch someone and touch their life and continue on, because I felt like my mom was, she was everything that communities and schools strive for. Like, she's everything that they actually are, because she was able to do outreach and she was able to do those things, and she knew nothing of communities and schools. And it was so amazing when I came home and told her about it, because she's like, Kanaya, you can't give up on this program, because I can see that spark in your eye. And that's all I needed, was that little spark, and it took off. And when I kept hearing from Ms. Baker every day, she kept contacting me, and although I wasn't responding, her contacting me was enough, you know? And after that, in February, it was my birthday, and my grandma passed away. My grandma passed away a week before my birthday, the same day my mom had passed, but 2 months later. So I feel like it kind of took my family for a loop, and for me, it actually woke me up more, because I feel like I always depended on my mom for happiness and on my grandma for happiness and essentially on my family. And I always depended on people. And I realized that when you put your hope in someone, they will always let you down. So you have to, that was something that I realized, that if I continue to put my hope in people, that I will continue to get let down. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not really sure, like, what I'm supposed to do with my life. And here Ms. Baker was, constantly texting, constantly calling. And from there, it was like, I thought my life was going downhill because I felt like there was, like, death after death. Mm-hmm. And then March came, and my mom adopted a whole community of family. Mm-hmm. She adopted the world, and her son passed away. And, yeah, that was March. So,
oh my gosh.
December, February, March. And it was it was hard. And I feel like I wasn't really sure what faith was. I wasn't really sure what purpose was.
Sure.
Until getting to a place where I was able to openly talk to someone and tell them that I'm hurting. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm scared. And I always believed that maybe I was going to be next. There was always killings in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I assumed, like, are my brothers okay? Are my family okay? Like, is everyone, will I be okay? And I realized that me staying home was not going to help that situation. It wasn't going to bring my mom or my grandma or my brother back. I realized that I had to go to school. That was something my mom wanted me to do. And mm-hmm. I was essentially doing it for my mom. I was doing it for my brothers. I was doing it for my sister. My older sister, she came home from college to help with the family, so she didn't get a chance to graduate. And then my other sister, this is her last year of law school, so yay. Big kudos to her.
Yes.
And honestly, I feel like CIS isn't just my family. They're mm-hmm. my heart, you know? Mm-hmm. They are so much. They mean so much to me because I feel like without them, I wouldn't have had such an impact on people. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have had such an impact on myself because I know that with Miss Baker, it isn't just her as a person, but it's everything that she stood for, everything that communities and schools stood for. And when they birthed, when Bill Milliken,
yeah,
when he birthed communities and schools, I don't think I feel like he probably was like, I did not think that it was going to get like this.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, all these kids. And yesterday I was telling him my story and I was talking to him about it. And I never get too deep into my story because I always believe that you leave a mystery. That's just something, you know, as a woman, mm-hmm. always got to mm-hmm. leave a mystery. Mm-hmm. And he was just asking questions and I just opened up. And I feel like this weekend, it really helped me wear my past on my sleeve and essentially let people see that these are all the things that I've went through, but I have came a better person. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the fact that I want to help my community and I stand to help my community mm-hmm. and I stand to help the world because I honestly feel like there are many more Kanayas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how to say it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's like emotions and yeah. everything's like flooding. There are so many people in the world who I know want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they probably don't have this platform. So mm-hmm. I don't do it for myself. It's literally, I was talking to a guy last night and he was like, you don't give yourself enough credit. And it's because it's not me, you know,
right.
This isn't for me. This is for my past. This is for my present. And this is for my future. This is for everybody who couldn't do it. Everybody who wouldn't do it. I have a brother named Rashid and he's so afraid to be smart and to be authentically himself. And I realized that the only way that I can help my family is by being that person that they want to be, you know, because mm-hmm. I know that when I see my siblings, they have this, like, they're so happy and they're so excited and they're like, oh my gosh, my sister's here. My sister and my brother, they were like, my sister's in Chicago. And they were so excited. And I'm like, this is going to be y'all. When I go places, I know that I'm that person that's like, can I bring my siblings? Because, and I know that they can't always go with me everywhere, but I know that with having them there, it's birthing a new child into CIS, mm-hmm. because this isn't just my story, you know? There's so many people out there who've had it worse. There was a girl last night who was talking about how she was in Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. and to hear her story and to hear all the things that she have been through and to see her now, it's like there are so many people that we have to impact and that we have to find a way to get through to. And I feel like with turning my microphone off to turn someone else's on, I would trade that in for the world, because baby, shine. Like, mm-hmm. and I tell people that all the time, shine as bright as you can. I have a close friend of mine, his name's Desmond, and he is such a vibrant kid, and he's so smart and he's so intelligent, but he's afraid to shine. And I tell him all the time, there is a big world out there. Like, I used to, there's a movie, I can't remember the name. And, oh, I think it's a saying my siblings used to say. And my sister used to say, it's your world, baby girl. Mm-hmm. And I would tell, I know he's not a girl, but I would tell him, like, it's your world. Yeah. And I realized that with it being our world, we have to make it, we have to literally make it our world, make it how we want the world to look. Mm-hmm. If you want the world to be peaceful in a better mm-hmm. place, you have to exemplify that, and you have mm-hmm. to show that. And I like to be happy. I like to laugh. I love to make people laugh. Like, that's something I'm really good at. And I realize that if that's what I want, I have to become that person. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have all these wants and we'll want it and want it and want it. But it's like, you have to do more than just want that. You have to walk on. There's a saying, and it says that you have to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we walk with our eyes open. And I believe that the smartest people in the world are blind people, because they have no choice but to walk on faith, and they have no choice but to say, I'm going to change the world. And to be in front of someone, my great grandma, she was blind, and my mom had all these stories about her. And I'm like, how did she do that? She couldn't even see. And I realized that to be able to actually do things and move and impact people, it's not about me seeing the person. It's about me seeing their soul. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how it is. You know, I don't see you as this beautiful girl with beautiful hair, because you're so beautiful. Thank you. You're welcome. I see you as my sister, mm-hmm. and I see your soul, and I see how beautiful your spirit is, and your energy is just amazing. Like, girl, it's fantastic. And I just see mm-hmm. all of it. Yeah. And I feel like if more of us see people for who they are on the inside and not on the outside, that we will birth many more Bill Milligans.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's just like that whole conversation we were talking about with like DEI, and how many people are just like instantly dismissing or judging other people or doing both at the same time based yeah. on what they see just on the outside.
Yeah.
And it's such a disservice to everybody involved in that relationship or lack of relationship, because yeah. you're missing out on the opportunity to meet people who are really amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that humans are so cool in regards to all of our different uniquenesses and our unique stories. And that's why I love doing this podcast, because I get to hear everybody's stories and, yeah. and meet all these really, really rad people. It's just been amazing hearing your story this morning.
Thank you.
There are a couple of things that I wanted to dig into just a little bit more deeply.
Okay.
So what would you say is your favorite memory of working with your CIS site coordinator?
It will have to be meeting Michelle Obama.
You met Michelle Obama?
I met Michelle Obama.
Did you touch her?
We hugged. We did more than touched. We hugged. That's my girl. That's my girl. Yes. I met Michelle Obama, and I also was able to get tickets to, she had, it was so amazing. She had an in-person conference with Yara Shahidi, and I feel like they are my spirit animals. That is another reason why I strive to be great, because I see so many great women. And
oh my God.
Honestly, oh my gosh. it was fantastic. That had to be my favorite moment because Miss Baker, my CIS coordinator, she knew exactly what to do and what to put in front of me. Mm-hmm. And with that, I was able to meet so many people and I was able to bridge that gap, you know, that children we often go through with adults. That I said it often, like, we don't get a chance to be heard. Mm-hmm. And having Michelle Obama listen to us talk, that meant the world to me. Like, it honestly meant the world to me listening to her say, tell me about yourself. What? You want to hear my story? Do you really want to hear my story? Like, are you serious? Do you have enough time? I was like so shook. And although I didn't get too into detail, and honestly, I don't even think I told her my story. I actually told her someone else's story. You know, I was telling her the story of my community because I have a habit of doing that. You know, I have a habit of doing that. And with that, if you actually pull up her Facebook page, I'm pretty sure the picture is still there. If you scroll all the way down, I used to have really big hair.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
There's a picture of me hugging Michelle Obama. And I was, and not only did my CIS worker do that, but I also was in Vogue. Glamour magazine. I also was featured in Glamour magazine. I like to talk and I end up meeting people. And I was also featured in Glamour magazine. They wanted to know my thoughts on Trump at the time and how he impacted.
Whoa.
Not in a good way.
Whoa, though.
Whoa.
So you spoke in like this huge magazine about.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow, girl. Oh, my gosh.
I was 16 at the time. I believe they said I was 17. I was 16 at the time.
Were you wearing a red shirt?
Let me see.
Is this you? That's somebody hugging.
No, that's not.
Sorry. It's like the face is all squished in that picture. So I was like, but no, I didn't scroll down.
It's on her Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram. Okay.
Yes. And honestly, me meeting Michelle Obama, it was so important to me and it was so special to me. And
being
being featured in the magazine and just being able to share my thoughts and views on everything. And I can honestly say Community and Schools is great and Miss Baker is great because she knew that. And like I said, during that time, I was a very angry child, but no one on the outside could see that anger. When I went out and I talked to people, it came from a place of pain, you know? Mm-hmm. And Miss Baker, she knew that once Kanaya went out there, everything that she was going through disappeared. Mm-hmm. And even if I woke up and I didn't get my Frappuccino, that anger, you know, like even regardless of what I was going through, even if I was late to school and then they marked me as absent for the day. Yeah. I knew that when I had to go out and speak, I wasn't speaking because I'm absent for the day. And I wasn't speaking from that anger of the situation that happened prior. I was speaking because I knew that there were people that were attached to my voice. And I'm put on a platform where I had to talk to my own. And I had to talk to the youth. I love talking to people around my age because I feel like no one else can connect with us but the people our age. And I say that... there are a lot of people that are older that can connect. But I say that because I feel like with having someone your age talk to you about the same situations that you've been through, it's like having a brother or a sister. Mm-hmm. But when you hear someone older talk about it, it's like, I'm not really sure if I can connect with you because this generation is different from the last. Mm-hmm. Their social media wasn't as popping. Social media has a big impact on everything that goes on. Bullying is serious and suicide is serious. Yeah. And CIS has helped me from all those stages that I went through, you know, like all the events were so beautiful and it really empowered me. But I believe another most beautiful moment would be her even just sitting in a bathroom and letting me cry and just her just being there and holding me and hugging me and telling me, Kanaya, you're going to be okay. it meant a lot to me, you know, because I didn't always have that. And sometimes you really, really want something from your parents, but they're not mentally able to give you that. You know, when you grow up seeing something, you become what you saw. And I feel like that's how it was for my mom. She became her situation and it wasn't intentional, you know. Mm-hmm. She wanted what was better for her kids, but she didn't put herself first. And one thing that I've learned is you cannot help no one else unless you help yourself. Because if you go back into your neighborhood and you're still poor, the pork, I was talking to a man, and every time I spark a conversation with people, I always tell them my expectations. And it's what I expect from myself, mm-hmm. because I realized when I used to go in meetings, I would just talk and talk and I would know anyone. And I'm like, Kanai, you didn't get that person's email. So I'm learning to actually set, you know, expectations for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to him, he was like, think about it. Poor people can't help poor people. Only people who are out of that situation can help them. Because when you're in a situation, you only see that situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean poor financially. Mm-hmm. I mean mindset, you know? And when, like I spoke about earlier, when you're in that same mindset as someone, that's all you see is mm-hmm. someone in that mindset. But when you're able to actually talk and identify with someone who has already gotten out of that situation. And Ms. Baker had gotten out of my situation, you know. She was from the outside looking in. And I'm very grateful for CIS because they birthed so many beautiful adults who have gone through the struggle, essentially. Because where I'm from, we call it the struggle. Yeah. And they've gone through that. And they're still able to connect with you, but also give you that voice so you don't feel like that I have no one to talk to, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I felt uncomfortable having to open up the world with this woman. I'm like, oh my gosh, is she's going to call like anybody on my mom? Like, yeah. I was freaking out. And then when I realized that she was just there to listen. And that was one of my most beautiful moments, you know, from meeting Michelle Obama and being featured on Glamour, but also still being that girl who have to go home into her neighborhood and affect the community and help change the community. But having someone like my CIS worker backing me up, like, I feel like Superwoman, you know, having my family and Miss Baker. It's like, my mom had 7 kids. Plus, I have this woman who is from the outside looking in, who is able to, like, it's like having a guardian angel. It's like, mm-hmm. what? It's like, are you really trying to help me? Like, me, the little girl from Washington, D.C.? So this is, it's a blessing. That's one of my favorite moments.
Maybe like a random question, but have you ever thought about running for president? Like, in the future? Because I'm so inspired by you, and you are 19 years old.
Yes, I'm 19.
And I mean, there are things I'll talk to you about offline that you have literally placed ideas in my mind that are going to change some of the choices that I've recently made for the better. So thank you for that. But I mean, I would not be surprised if, you know, here in like 20 years, I see, you know, Kanai is running for president, and I will vote. I will 100% vote for you. That's amazing. Okay, so I was given a certain amount of time that I was able to interview you for, and we are getting towards the end of that time.
I'm so sorry. I talk so much.
Girl, it's fine. I love hearing your story, and this particular episode is all about you anyway. So thank you so much for sharing your story, for being authentic, for being vulnerable, and just for being your awesome, amazing, inspiring self.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I like to wrap up my episodes by asking people extra credit questions, because the theme of the podcast is school-based, because we are a school-based organization. So hence why it is called Letters from the Lunchroom.
Yeah.
And so I have some fun extra credit questions that will let us learn a little bit of interesting, random things about you. You cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first extra credit question is, what is the one song that whenever you hear it come on, you cannot help but sing to?
The one song. Okay, there's a song by a woman named Corinne Hawthorne, mm-hmm. and it's called Won't He Do It? And it's a gospel song. It's just amazing. Like, mm-hmm. when I tell you, I will be going through the mud, and I'll be done shed my tears, and somebody will turn on Corinne Hawthorne, and I'm like, hey, won't he do it? Hey, he said he would. Yes. And it's just... it's a beautiful song. You have to listen to it. You wouldn't even think it's gospel. I know some of the gospel is like really slow and things like that. Maybe. But I used to be in church falling asleep. I was also that child. But the song, like this new generation of gospel, can't nobody tell them nothing. Awesome. It's like hip hop based. It's amazing.
I love that.
It's amazing.
I love
you
that.
You have to listen to the song.
I will. I totally will. So second extra credit question is, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
Wow, there's like so many superpowers. Mm-hmm. I will have to say invisibility.
Ooh, so why?
So for me, I'm a work in progress, mm-hmm. and I still have, you know, my moments where I like to be funny and things like that. And I think being invisible, like, you can like trip someone up.
I love like, it. I love like, it so much.
Like, imagine coming in one morning and like there's that one person at Starbucks and they're just so mean to you all the time.
Yeah.
And then that one morning you're able to be invisible. I'm going to mess up. Just I'm going to take the top off the blender. Yes. It's just going to, you know,
see, that's where I'm going to is I'm thinking about like all of the really funny pranks that you could pull, because yeah. like right now, like the second It movie just came out.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like if you were invisible, like how much you would creep people out if you were just like holding like this red balloon and yeah. just like walking down like the streets of DC or Maryland yeah. or Chicago or wherever. And there's just like this floating red balloon and you're yeah. just like watching everybody's faces in fear.
I think invisibility, that's honestly like, I wouldn't want any other superpower because I don't want to know the future or I don't want to.
Yeah,
I no, think huh? having invisibility, it's one of like, it's one of the smartest ones, because not only can you like do funny things, but also like in that moment of like, you're just in distress or you're like, you're going through anything. You're like, you know what? I don't yes. want to be seen anymore.
Oh, I love that. That has just such a disappear. Comforting feel to it, but yeah. also an empowering feel.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to have those together. Yeah. So I love that. I love that. And I love this like self-choice of invisibility. Like when you have it, you're not like always invisible. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you want to be, yeah. which is like the best superpower to have is when you want it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the final extra credit question is, what is the number one reason why you feel that people should get involved with communities and schools?
Wow, that's such an amazing question. I have so many answers. I will have to say you have to have a passion for what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you have to have a passion for outreach. Mm-hmm. And I believe that people should get involved with communities and schools because there is a nation full of young people being birthed every day. Mm-hmm. And yes, adults' voice matters, but I believe that we and people even younger than me, 3 years and 2 years, we are the next generation, and your future president is being born. And mm-hmm. why not have an organization that is caring and loving and passionate about our voice? Why not having them a part of that? Because with birthing that, you're essentially investing in your future. And who wouldn't want to be mm-hmm. an older person sitting on the beach? And you're like, communities and schools can handle everything because they're birthing geniuses, you know? So I honestly believe that getting the people should get involved with communities and schools because we are the wave, period. Like, we're up next, and this is something that it's monumental. This mm-hmm. is something that I will see in a museum. Like, you know, there was this amazing guy, Mr. Milliken, and he opened the doors for so many youth of so many different backgrounds. And one of our future presidents are standing in front of us. And in order to help them, I have to have a passion. I have to be able to be authentic, you know? And I feel like getting involved with communities and schools, it will really help change you as a person, because it will show you that there are so many people out there that need the things that you they need the things that you offer, and you need the things that they offer. And with communities and schools, they are giving everyone, literally everyone, a background to do exactly that. They're like, we're going to invest in you because I know what you're going to do you're going to pay it forward and you're going to do it to someone else. So with all that being said, this is, we're up next, like I said, and this is something that you have to be, you have to be that person who is able to say, I am the chosen one and I'm the one who's going to affect nations and communities and schools. I know that they're going to back me 100% because they have a bunch of youth who are fighting for our future.
Yeah. So. I love that. I love that. I actually have never heard it put in quite that way of get involved with communities and schools for your future, because the person that you have that positive impact on is going to be the one who makes those decisions that affect your future. Yeah. And I think that's so, so true. And like I said before, I think you're right. We are 100% going to be influencing and birthing the next president, because I'm looking at her right now. not the next president, but a future president, because you maybe a little you have to finish that college first, girl. But first things first. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I am gonna let you go. I'm gonna respect your schedule for today. Though I feel like I could talk to you for absolutely hours and just learn so many more wonderful things about you. Thank you so much for taking the
time. You're welcome. Thank you. This is amazing.
And and for anybody who's listening, and just keep your eyes open for Kunaya, because she's going to be doing great things in the future.
There's going to be more to come.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. You can find more information about CIS of MidAmerica at cismidamerica.org. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on social media at CIS MidAmerica. Until next time, class is dismissed.